The Netball Show with Andy Lamb and Natalie Morris.
It's Andy. Welcome to The Netball Show with Mizuno. England are in Australia already. We're going to get Jess Thilby's thoughts on that side that includes Kate Shimmin. Rebecca Myers joins us from The Times. Nominations for their Sportswomen of the Year are now open. We're pleased to announce Manx Radio's Rhiann Evans and guests are going to be joining us over the next couple of months to preview the weekend's games in the Newfield Senior Leagues. Fast Five is going to be taking place Saturday the 12th of October, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets to this year's event.
Hi, this is Georgie Lees, and you're listening to The Netball Show with Mizuno.
I'm Natalie Morris. Things are beginning to take shape ahead of the new season. One of the big stories this week is that Surrey Storm have signed Sophie Hankin from Mavericks, and she's been talking to Storm about her decision.
It was hard to leave. Over the years, they have given me more. They have made me the player that I am and helped me along my journey. I think now this is a fresh chapter for me, and I was lucky enough to give this opportunity from Mickey, and it's for me to develop more of my netball, and I will definitely learn some key things under Mickey's coaching, so I'm really excited for what's to come for this season ahead.
Was Mickey key in that decision?
Yes, Mickey, I'm very grateful. Mickey gave me this opportunity, and after a rough season from last year, obviously with a knee injury, I didn't have a lot of opportunities to play, and the fact that I was still wanted is actually makes me feel really happy that she has faith. So I am really excited, and she has been a very key factor of me joining Surrey, and I'm very excited to meet all the new fans and get to know the area and look forward to all of my game days and hear those very loud cheers in the crowd, which I was against, but now I'm very glad that I'm part of.
How important is it when a coach believes in you as a player? Does that give you extra confidence?
It does give us confidence, and it's also the belief. Like, sometimes obviously when you're having maybe a bad day in training and you don't have the belief in yourself, it's always nice that a coach is willing to like say to you, like, even it might be like straight to the point, or it might be very softly, but the fact is they do have belief in you, and you do need that as a person when you are having those bad days, but also when you're having the good days, so they then say like, yes, you're doing a great job.
You play both goal attack and wing attack. What strengths do you think you bring to the court?
I think goal attack, I love shooting. I'm not afraid to put up the shot. Even if I do have a couple of misses, I'm still wouldn't consider myself to then back away. And I'm hoping, like, if I do get a chance to build on my wing attack, it's just to build that connection with my shooters. Obviously, as a shooter, I do know, like, what we like to have the feeds in, what kind of areas we like to work in, and how wing attacks can help us. So I'd like to incorporate that so that when I get that position, if I do, then I can bring that to the table.
And I suppose in any sport, days where you have 100% success are very rare, so you've got to put yourself in the position to miss to then come back and score.
Yeah, 100%. You have to have faith in yourself, and I think as well with the teammates that we do have in Surrey, everyone has each other's back, so to have the confidence just to keep putting that shot up, and even with our shooters, whether I have a goal shooter in there, she's always going to have my back to get the rebound and always have that trust in me as well whilst we're playing, which I think is very key.
There seems to be a great spirit around the camp. What, collectively and individually for yourself, what do you hope to achieve with Storm?
I think I want to work hard. I want to get my fitness up, which has been very apparent in the last 3 weeks. But I just want to get back into netball, have that flow again, get continuous play, and just support one another. And with this, like, we are all on the same page. We are starting with the hard work first, and we're just going to keep building and building. And then what we end up with, obviously, we want to hit that top four, and we're going to be proud of where we end. So that's the aim for the season.
Obviously, every team has that ambition to break into the top four. Mickey has stated that that's her target for this season. Do you think that's realistic?
I think with the calibre of players that we have and the cohesiveness, definitely think that's achievable.
Also this week, Team Bath have revealed their new head coach on Tuesday, and it's Joe Vann. Joe was one of the first players to wear blue and gold in the Super League. She helped secure the Super Cup back in 2004. And she was also part of the inaugural winning side in the Super League the following year. What does it mean for her to be returning?
I'm delighted to be returning to Team Bath, and this time as a coach. It's an incredibly exciting role, and there's such a legacy that comes with the club. So to be able to build on that, work with the athletes to build on the success from the past few years, and also with the coaches at all levels across the programme, and help them be the best they can be, and also build the teams from using the knowledge and the development I've had in leadership here in the Army, and bring that back to netball will be something I'm looking to do. My netball career spanned 10 years with Team Bath, and I represented England at a junior and senior international level, with the real highlights representing England at the World Netball Cup. And alongside that, there was a real common thread that I really did enjoy coaching, and so continued with that beyond my playing career, and took on a role as the regional talent development coach for Southwest England, and working closely with Team Bath. Now, beyond that, I then chose to join the Army, and I've continued coaching whilst I've been in the Army, working closely with Army Netball. As a head coach, my focus is going to be across all levels of the programme, so we'll have a really keen eye on looking at the futures that are developing at the junior level, and bringing those up through to basically produce stars of the future, both at Super League and at England level. I am so excited to be working with Anna. I have so much respect for Anna as a coach, and having played for her when she was coaching the team means that we have a really good understanding of each other, and I'm just delighted to be working alongside her. She has such a great record, it's highly regarded across the country, and it's fantastic to have her with, to be alongside her at Team Bath. We've got a really exciting team building for this season, and Anna's worked really hard over the summer to bring together a fantastic group of players who range from youth and experience, and I'm just so excited to be working with them.
Anna Stembridge was naturally pleased to have her back.
I'm really excited that Jovan's going to be joining the coaching team this year. You know, a lot of us know her as Binsey. She's an ex-Team Bath player, an ex-England international. She's a bundle of energy and just a brilliant person to work with. I think from my perspective, she's just going to enable us to kind of look at some of the individual work-ons to ensure that those athletes are maximising what they can do throughout the season, but also ensuring that contributes to the greater good of the team. I was very lucky to have played with Jo at the end of my career, start of hers, and you know what she brings from a coaching perspective is very similar to herself as a player. Technically and tactically, she was very astute, very knowledgeable. She always gave 110% in terms of on-court and off-court. She was extremely diligent in terms of looking across all disciplines, ensuring that she did everything possible in order to be the best she could be, and in turn the best that she could offer to the team. So I think that's what we'll see, and I'm really looking forward to working with her.
And on Wednesday, Knights Men's Netball confirmed that ex-Mavs, Storm and England Nets player Talissa Haynes has joined them as their head coach. Exciting times ahead. It's the Netball Show, and next we hear from Jess Thirlby on Kate Shimmin. Yaz shares her memories of playing in Fast Five last year alongside Sharni, plus the first of our weekly updates from the Isle of Man Newfield Senior League.
We know that 1.4 million women and girls across the country are playing netball, but the clear majority are still playing in running shoes or generic trainers, which don't provide the necessary support required to play the fast-moving and dynamic sport that netball is today.
So as a sports injury specialist, one of my biggest bugbears is seeing netball players playing netball in running shoes. The reason this is annoying for me is because running shoes are designed for running in a linear motion. They're not designed for stop, start, change of direction, and looking after the stability of a player as they're coming down from the air. So the benefit of a netball shoe over a running shoe is they're designed to give you more stability and allow you to change direction with better grip, and also allow you to give a more stable knee and ankle position when coming down from a height, therefore reducing the risk of injury in those two areas.
It's a Netball Show with Mizuno. Nominations are now open for the Times Sportswoman of the Year 2019. And Rebecca Myers joins us from the Times.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No worries at all. Saw the promo video, and it includes the stills People Don't Watch or Win Trophies. That's done a little bit tongue-in-cheek, surely.
Yeah, very much so. it's a really fun video, actually. Like you said, it sort of says, women don't play sport, people don't watch women's sport. And there's a lot of these arguments that go around over the years, or have been going around, that I think this year we've really busted those completely out of the water. They're definitely been disproven. and obviously netball's played a huge part in that. It's been a massive year for the England netball squad and for netball in this country as the World Cup in Liverpool. So yeah, it's played a huge part in showing people that women's sport is a really thriving business.
It's not just the netball, but it's obviously events like the Women's Super League as well, and an incredible year of sport again.
Yeah, it's been an absolutely amazing year, you know, and it's still not over yet. Things like the athletics to come, and even just, I think, in the world of netball, all the new selections and new faces coming up through, obviously Jeff coming into her role, there's so much still going on, and we're not even at the end of the year just yet. But the netball team won our Team of the Year award last year, which is going to go to public vote again in a couple of weeks' time, and I think they're going to have stronger competition than ever. Certainly, I think the Lionesses might get a bit of a run for their money.
How is it for you working on the whole sports section at the Times?
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing time to be involved. And I think certainly, just I think having the interest and having the momentum behind it, I loved going up to Liverpool for the World Cup. I've loved just being able to be, you know, at those events and just, I guess, kind of witness a bit of history, because I think these are the events and this is the summer that we'll look back on in, you know, years to come and go, that was probably the summer when it really felt like things were changing.
In your article as well, I'd probably agree with you, because you said that it hasn't been overhyped, it's a genuine growth, and the interest is there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, and you touched on my article, one of the things I did say is that there was quite a lot of maybe like fear that it had been overhyped, and we were all a little bit worried, you know, would it actually turn out to be the big summer we'd hoped for? But I think that you can't argue with the numbers now. I mean, obviously, legacy and momentum going forward and ensuring that things like World Cup turn into league attendances, we know that's always a challenge. It's always something that we have to work at. And we're not saying that, you know, a million are going to pop down to the Super League overnight. But, you know, we can but hope, and that's something we can work on. But it definitely feels like the numbers are there now, and it's just a case of building on what we've already done.
The good thing is the Times aren't new to this, and they've been involved with Sports Women of the Year awards for a number of years, and every year it's just grown and grown and properly recognised the talent that's there.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the 32nd Sunday Times Sports Women of the Year awards. Wow. Which is absolutely amazing, and we've got incredible sponsors in Vitality who have, you know, been with us over the years when, you know, and often in the past when women's sport hasn't really been cool, it hasn't been what people want to talk about. If you think it's hard to cover women's sport today, imagine, you know, the people who were doing it back in the 90s type thing. It's not been easy. But we're just so proud to still be here, to still have Vitality on board, incredible supporters of women's sport in general and netball in particular, obviously. Yeah. So yeah, it's a really proud moment for us every time of year when it comes around to say, here we are and we're still supporting this.
I think I saw something online that Becca Adlington's a judge, and maybe Amma too.
Yeah, Amma joins our judging panel this year, which is super exciting. So Rebecca Adlington's a judge. We were lucky enough to have her as a judge last year as well. But Amma's come on board on the judging panel this year, which is wonderful, like massive get for us, and just so great to have her on board. And she joins, there's a host of kind of famous sportswomen who are judging. We've got like Victoria Pendleton and Dame Jessica Ennis-Hill. So some really incredible names alongside our sort of bastions of the sporting world who come from organisations such as Women in Sport and UK Sport and bodies such as that. So it's really, I mean, you sort of can't, you know, the mind boggles when you read that list back at yourself. But I think particularly to have someone like Amma, who's so recently, you know, been intensely involved in the sport and seen all those changes like right first at hand, it's really fantastic.
Give us an idea of some of the categories.
So there's 7 categories, and they range from your sort of your main kind of standard, who is the Sportswoman of the Year, all the way through to, we've got a Young Sportswoman of the Year, Disability Sportswoman of the Year, and then we've got Team of the Year, like we had, like the netball team won last year, so that will go out to public vote. And also, then we've got Lifetime Achievement, our Hella Rollis and Inspiration Award, and then our Grassroots Award, which I really encourage any of your listeners, if they've got someone in their local community who does amazing work with people in, you know, in sports, whether that's coaching kids. Our winner last year was an amazing woman called Margaret, who was in her 70s and coached hundreds and hundreds of girls netball, like literally hundreds of girls. She was amazing. Yeah. So if anyone knows something like that, you can nominate them. You can put them forward on our website for, you know, to be considered for the award, and that's a really special award to me personally as well.
And ambassadors of the game as well. We followed Alex from Mintridge and she won Sportswoman of the Year awards last year. It's just nice to recognise things like that.
Exactly. So, our netball coach, who I mentioned, was 2 years ago. Alex won last year, and we're working with her quite a lot. And the Mintridge Foundation, they're an absolutely amazing organisation. She's an incredible woman, you know, really like an absolute sort of inspiration. You know, I couldn't believe it when I sort of first met her and sat down to hear about her work.
She won't hear this, don't worry.
She might be blushing. But yeah, just amazing work. And she works, obviously, with a lot of the netballers, bringing them into schools and bringing kids a real role model direct to the school to see, which is just an extraordinary thing. You know, I never had that when I was a kid, and I think it can completely change your relationship with sport.
It's fair to say, but Rebecca, netball is in with a really good chance, you reckon?
Oh, yeah. it will be very much down to, yeah, it'll be very much down to the public. And I think also, you know, if I can really encourage people to use this nominations period to anyone forward who they want for any of the different categories, and it might be that people think that, you know, maybe Tracy should be up for her own award, or maybe Serena. Like, it's really, you know, we take the public's opinion really into consideration in this period, and then once, you know, provided they get shortlisted for the team of the year, which we will find out, then I would encourage people to vote as much as they can, really, because, yeah, I think it's going to be a really tight race. But people can follow all the action if you go to literally sportswomenoftheyear.co.uk. You can nominate and then vote as the voting opens. And we just love having people involved in this, I think, particularly after such a year of amazing sport where, you know, the public were so involved in this kind of revolution, as I'd like to call it.
Brilliant. Sportswomenoftheyear.co.uk, that'll be online now when you can get your votes in. And what about votes?
So nominations are open for the next sort of 10 days, and then we'll close that, and voting will open in October. So keep an eye out, and you can follow the hashtag Spotty as well, and you'll see when it opens then.
I think you've just booked yourself another appointment.
England travel to Australia next week following a week in camp. Jess Thirlby has included Kate Shimmin in the side and Surrey Storm returnee Yaz Parsons. Jess told The Netball Show all about the inclusion of Kate as part of the squad.
Kate has got dual citizenship, so her sister's actually got a British passport and one of her parents is British. So that's how she kind of qualifies from a practical point of view. Obviously, the conversations with Kate started prior to my appointment as well, and Kate was quite keen. So those conversations, the beginnings of those conversations happened obviously prior to my recent appointment. And she, as a result of those conversations, she's been offered that full-time contract. So it's a huge opportunity for Kate, and it's also an opportunity for us to explore with her if this Roses program's a good fit. She's absolutely wanting to give it her best and 100%. And as with any athlete, you know, it's a journey. So it's a great opportunity. Kate, you know, I've been to a couple of World Youth Cups, so I'm kind of well aware of Kate's journey through the Australian system. She's played at 21 and under for a number of years and was in and around the Aussie Diamonds going back into like 2015, 2016. But since then has obviously been very much embedded into the SSN environment. So this is obviously a player that feels like she really wants to play internationally. And I guess for both the likes of someone like her or Chelsea, if you've got that opportunity and you really want to do it, then they just want to have a go at pursuing it and giving it their best shot. So, it'll be an interesting journey, but great to have the likes of her alongside all the others. You know, the calibre of those players is something not to be ignored. So, yeah, it'll be a good journey.
Fast Five's taking place on the 12th of October, almost time. And we're giving you the chance to win tickets. More information in a minute. But last year, one of the big all-star names, Sharni Layton, took to court and played for Surrey Storm. If you're watching it on Sky or you were there in person, something you will never forget. What was it like playing in a team alongside her? We've been speaking to Yaz Parsons.
Like any athlete, to play in a stadium full of people and full of fans, it's like a dream come true. And again, it's the atmosphere, it's just overwhelming. And, you know, it's one of those things as an athlete, I guess it's like your bucket list and making sure you tick it off, you know, to stand out in front of the crowd and hear them screaming and chanting your team's name. It's just, just breathtaking.
Storm fans couldn't believe Sharni being as part of the squad last year. Is she still on a WhatsApp group of yours?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Hey. I still can't believe that, No, I'll post stuff on Instagram and she likes it or she comments on it. And I'm literally like, oh my goodness, Sharni Layton has just liked my photo. I think she had a massive impact on us as well. She's one of those netballers that, you know, she's been through a lot herself. She's very, very inspirational. And to have her play alongside us, for me, was a dream come true. She's like a real idol. I've like followed her in all her Aussie years of her playing and stuff. And, you know, to then stand and like have her talk to you or even hug you, I can't tell you. It's literally amazing. And to her, it's like...
Just for training as well.
Normal. And like to train with her. You know, she really brought some knowledge, you know, from her experiences of playing. I think she found Fast Five really exciting as well because she said she never played it, obviously, here with us and obviously to be playing with different people that she's never played with before. And she really, like, yeah, just got the team motivated. Like, you know, we got to the semi-finals, which was incredible. So, yeah, just... Yeah, I literally can't put it into words like how amazing it was. It just, yeah, it's literally like, it's just breathtaking. Yeah, I'm lost for words.
Great news. We've teamed up with Matchroom and we've got a couple of sets of two tickets for this year's British Fast Five tournament. Our easy question, who won last year's British Fast Five? If you don't know the answer, it's online, fast5allstars.com. But... the question once again, who won last year's British Fast Five? You might have been there in person, you might have seen it on Sky. When you've got the answer, email info@thenetballshow.co.uk. We'll be picking the winners in good time for the event, Saturday the 12th of October. Tickets be collected from the copper box on the day of the event, so do make sure you can go. The question again, who won last year's British Fast Five? The email you need, info@thenetballshow.co.uk. Good luck.
Time now for our first update from the Isle of Man Newfield Senior League. And we'll be bringing you regular updates throughout the season thanks to Ree Evans and her guests on Manx Radio.
So before we dive into the preview of week four of the Newfield Senior Netball League with Ailish Brighton, I'm just going to give you a roundup of results of last weekend's fixtures from Sunday the 22nd of September. Beginning with the Premier Division, Route 1 Connections took on Marbury Misfits A. It was Marbury who came out on top 44-30. It was a club game when SNP partners Ballasalla B took on their A team, SNP partners Ballasalla A. Ballar A came out on top 44-16. There was a tough game between Thompson Travel 1 and Simcox Gold Eagle. Thompson came out with the win 35-24. And finally, Simcox Red beat Brown Crane Tomb Raiders 51-18. In Division 2, a nail biter of a match between Castletown Pink and Thompson Travel 3. It ended up being a draw with both teams getting 30 goals apiece. Dan Plant's Young Farmers A narrowly beat Thompson Travel 2 31-28. SNP partners Ballasalla C lost out to Long and Humphrey Tomb Raiders 48-32. And Route 1 Turbos lost to PWC Manx Gem Rubies 23-35. In Division 2, PWC Manx Gems Emeralds lost out to the Spaniards 19-32. Castletown Navy smashed WDS Limited Young Farmers B 39-6. And PWC Manx Gems Sapphires had a convincing win over Absolute Scaffolding Black 38-18. And finally, in Division 3, Simcox Silver beat Absolute Scaffolding Red 29-14. Thompson Travel 4 took a heavy defeat to Route 1 Vaults. Route 1 took the win 39-12. And finally, SNP Ballasalla D had a convincing win over PWC Manx Gems Tanzanite. They won 31-12. So, back again in the studio with Ailish Brideson, we are looking back at week 3 of the Newfield Netball League fixtures. Ailish, did any games on Sunday stand out to you? Were there any surprises? I spoke to Becky and she said it wasn't a massively surprising week for her from the games she saw. But what about you?
So I started off down at the NSC watching Simcox Red versus Brown Crane Tomb Raiders. It was anticipated that Reds were going to win, and they did. They took the game and they led it the whole way. But Tomb Raiders throwing out some new combinations there. So Zoe Shimmons moved from Thompson to Tomb Raiders, adding some strength into the defence. Likewise, Simcox was short a few players this week. So we saw Becky Hemsel and Ellen Charmer having a go at shooting. Combinations we've not seen before, but, you know, seemed to work quite well, and definitely helped the Reds go on and get the win. Thompson 3 versus Castletown Pink were going on in the court next door. So flicking my head over, the game actually finished 30-all, very closely contested the whole way through. I actually think it was a case of Thompson were leading up until the final quarter, and then Castletown managed to pull it back. They went up 2 in the final and then Thompson pulled it back to level. But a game that was going goal for goal, again, very tightly contested, and I'd actually have put Thompson 3 down to win that game before it was played, so I was shocked, and I'm sure probably some of the Thompson girls are as well, but massive credit to Castletown Pink there for pulling that one out the bag.
That sounds like a really exciting game. Just quickly, what does happen if teams draw during the league?
Yeah, so if teams draw, they both get 2 points each. And on the website, it'll look like they've not played at all. Neither go red or green. They just kind of sit there in like a null colour. But last year, you'll find that they come out with a vengeance in the second half of the season to try and take the win. I remember Simcox Blue and Route 1 Connections, they ended up drawing both of their games against each other last year, which was absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, you'll find teams come out with a fire in their belly the second half of the season to try and make the game theirs. But in terms of how it looks in the score, so it's 3 for a win, 2 for a draw, and 1 if you lose but get half points of the person that you've played against. Other games that I saw, so after the Reds, I went up to Bemahague School and saw Simcox Golds play Thompson 1. A game that started off quite close between the two of them, you know, as they went into half time, there was 5 goals between them, Simcox trailing, going into the final quarter, Thompson leading by 3. So a game that I thought was going to be slightly closer, but actually in the final quarter, Thompson 1 had the fire in their bellies and with a team that really wanted to win and just took it away. I think they won by 12 in the end. Absolutely ridiculous. Massive credit to the defence, massive credit to the attack for holding their own. Likewise, the people in the midcourt being able to feed that ball up and down into the circle. Devastating for Simcox, but they'll learn and build on that for next season. And another team I watched was Simcox Silver again this week. It was a week of Simcox teams that I went to watch, but went back down to the NSC to see Simcox, and they played against Absolute Scaffolding Red. Simcox took the game away from the start of it, which was anticipated. I think they'd played their strongest match the week before, so the girls really building confidence week on week, and it's really nice to see such a young team becoming so confident so early on in the season. Likewise, massive credit to Absolute. They had some young girls in that team as well, getting their premiership, not their premiership, their senior debut this year. So massive hats off to them. But yeah, most of the games kind of were played out like they were supposed to. No real surprises, really.
And looking ahead to week 4, what games are you most looking forward to this weekend, this Sunday?
This Sunday, so we've got Simcox Gold versus Simcox Red. I always think club versus club games are interesting to watch. There isn't that rivalry like there is, you know, across other games in the season. So you may find that the Golds actually keep Reds a lot closer than most people would have will expect. That's because people try out new combinations and you don't tend to go as hard on your own team. It's more like a training match than anything else. So it'd be interesting to see kind of what the scoreline is there. Other games to watch, we've got Thompson 4 versus Absolute Scaffolding Red. They're quite closely pegged in the division. It'd be interesting to see who comes out on top there. Thompson 1 versus Ballarat. Thompson 1 on a winning streak from the week before. They came third in the Premier Division last year. So a team that's been kind of put high in the ranks this year. Some new combinations after losing a few girls to university. Likewise, Ballarat, a team that are vying for that Premier Division win. Manx Gems Tanzanites versus Simcox White. Tanzanites are a new team to the Gems club. They've been doing quite well for a new team, new sets of combination. And Simcox White, I'd say they're quite fairly pegged teams. It'd be interesting to see who wins out of the two of those. That's at the end. See at 10 o'clock, probably be a good game to go down and watch. We've got Simcox Blue versus Route 1 Connections. So like I said before, the teams that drew with each other twice.
Ooh, that's
last
gonna be
season.
Good.
Yeah. Both teams, new combinations this year. They've got some new players. In Route 1, they've got Ashley Nicholson-Farrett, I think is her name, not played in the Premier Division before. It's her first season, her first run out for Route 1 as well. Seems to be holding her own.
What time's that game?
That game is, it's at Castle Rushen this week, actually. Yeah, Castle Rushen, 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So up nice and early to see that one. But hopefully it's not a draw this time and someone can actually pip their way to the finish.
Thanks to Rhiann Evans and Manx Radio. There's plenty more updates from the Isle of Man Newfield Senior League over the next couple of months.
And don't forget to enter our Fast Five competition where you can win a set of tickets for the event. Just tell us who won last year's event and email info@thenetballshow.co.uk with your answer.
Let us know the latest from your club as well. We'd love to hear what's going on. You can always send us a tweet at The Netball Show.
The Netball Show with Andy Lamb and Natalie Morris.